if you want to contact the Hemp Embassy, the website's www.hempembassy.net or nimbinmardigrass.com. And if you want to send us some news items or tidbits for the radio, thehemphour@gmail.com.
Brilliant.
Where you get two for the price of one.
Thanks so much. We're talking gastronomy, but you can forget about that, listener,
because we'll come back
you're
to that
here
later.
Now, and you come first.
Hello, Mike. Have you got your seat fully covered?
The mayor is here.
Go away.
Yeah, fully covered.
You know that we have to really make double sure with you.
Scottish practical dick.
Yeah.
People have trouble with those.
Stop it.
Circumcised. Do you know that circumcised men...
Retraction.
Do you know that...
Some people don't have the ability to retract, I've noticed. I tell you years, you bloody learned.
Retraction's no problem, eh?
Do you know circumcised men...
Straight up the Khyber.
Only 10% of the pleasure from sex that uncircumcised men do?
That's what uncircumcised men have been spreading for years.
Thanks for telling me.
Yeah. Just think how we would probably have never got out
no
of the
wonder
cot
I can't
we...
stop thinking about it. I'm never satisfied.
In fact, there's a theory that circumcised men can't love women.
Possibly true. Never satisfy them.
It's only a theory, though. You know.
I'm glad it's a theory.
It's only a theory.
There's a lot of theories around. Bob, what's happened behind you? There's a whole new layout in the MFM studio. It looks almost professional.
Satisfy.
Who did that?
Yeah,
satisfy.
NMFM did that.
You males think you can satisfy any woman?
Oh, one of our works for the old people made the rack.
You little spurters, that's what you are.
I want something like that in the museum where we have lots of boxes covered with perspex.
You can't hope.
And I can put my exhibits in them one by one.
You couldn't
I've got
hope
a roach
to satisfy a real woman.
Paul McCartney, no, it was George Harrison, visited Rainbow Lane.
I've got the $50 note.
When he bought the deal, the joint. He bought a joint.
No, it's
not
the deal.
He gave someone 50 for a miserly deal. Only made a joint.
Hey.
He smoked it. Someone got the roach. I
you
bought
should
the
have
roach.
Seen the joint. I sold him the pot.
Have you got the original 50 from
I've got
that?
The 50. I've still got the 50.
So can I have that for the museum?
Yeah, okay.
Good on you.
Yeah.
That'll be great. We'll put that with the roach.
No worries.
Beautiful.
I've got the
those
name.
Sort of things I've got. I want to put them in little boxes with a perspex cover on them. Anyone come and help me, someone?
The $50 note from George Harrison.
Yeah, that's a winner.
Remember we auctioned it off? We auctioned it off and we got $120 for it.
I know.
At auction, and then I had to buy it back.
Yeah.
Bought it back when they were on their straps. Back when they were down and out, didn't we, Michael? Hey?
It's looking a bit old. And somebody, and because it wasn't in a good box, something has chewed a little corner of it, like a little insect or something. We can't have that happen due to seriously good exhibits.
No, I think that was actually... George himself did that. He tore a corner off when he gave it to...
No.
Just to keep it as a little memento for himself, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's when he gave the $1 million to the Hare Krishnas.
Gee, I hope that wasn't the joint that gave him lung cancer.
No, hell no.
Oh, good.
Not that local weed. He thought it was bloody good. I do remember that. He thought it was excellent.
Yes.
Hey, I will tell you one thing. Bluey Lyons is leaving. And it's in the Northern Star. Got a big rave today. And they ring me up and I go... Oh, well, what do I say? Because he has really given Nimbin a very hard time.
Mm.
He's been here, I think they say, only 5 years in a big story in the paper today.
Mm.
In that 5 years, he has, just endlessly sent cops to Nimbin with his same old line.
He has killed community policing, stone dead.
I just want the average mum or dad to walk up Cullen Street and not get off a drug. Well, hello.
Bluey Lyons was the death knell to community policing.
Yeah. So I reckon people should be writing into the paper. Just, don't attack Bluey. Just say, Bluey, what have you achieved?
What is your legacy?
What is your legacy? Thank you, good word.
I'd
what
also
is
like,
what is
I'd
it
like
done?
To ask.
What is your legacy? Let's see.
A lot
see.
Of money spent because the proof is, there was a police barbecue yesterday. I think the backpackers ate the lot.
They
got
did.
Off the bus
they did. There was no locals, were
there,
I don't think.
No, of course not.
No.
Anyway, Mick Dempsey is here. He's got pips all over him. He's the duty officer for the Richmond Area Command now. I've got the lowdown
he was
on
spotted,
the new commander.
And someone wasn't quite sure who he was, but he was spotted in town during the week. Came
he
out, had a look, four pips.
How's it going? What's changed? The answer is there's more weed than ever.
Well, it's funny
compared
that.
Compared to this time last year, there's weed everywhere.
No, wait one goddamn minute. Bluey Lyons promised he was going to clean up Nimbin.
I know.
Now, if Nimbin isn't clean, then... He should eat his hat.
This is
which one?
He has been sent
All of it.
On the other page too, he's got another 8 photos.
Yeah, there's another 8 photos. He's got
with
a different...
He's got the man that doesn't know which hat to wear. With Marie Bashir.
Well, what else would an undercover... Wife. What else would an undercover agent collect?
But hats. Hey,
what else would an undercover agent collect but hats?
A cobra hat.
Hats for every job. Hats for every look. As long as it requires an Akubra. So long as you need an Akubra, I'm the man to hide under.
How can you play? Well, as long as it's high heel boots, I can cover it.
I think if we've got to say anything about Bluey Lyons, it's that he did kill community policing Stone Dead.
In that particular photograph,
in our village,
16 Akubra hats laid out around his office.
Yeah, it's only a little bit of the collection.
And I think we should probably send him a little note from the Hemp Embassy thanking him for that. Because it was a false hope anyway, this community.
Yeah.
Got it a bit more real.
Yep.
I don't know what to say, because he told Dunstan that he was one of the cops they sent to Amsterdam and places, and they came back and recommended cannabis cautioning. But he wouldn't even engage in a conversation about law reform. Anyway, well, who we are getting is the cop Martin, who's now at New England. We're getting him very soon. And he used to be the crime manager in Richmond Area Command and knows Nimbin well.
Good. Excellent. Well, then, in that case, let's get to him now and say, Bluey's cleaned up Nimbin. It's completely clean.
Spotless. Absolutely spotless.
Can we back off the broom and shovel now? No.
I want to say to him, it won't Bluey... happen. Has spent a fifth of your budget on this tiny little town, and in fact, he's caused a massive expense. All the people in jail and court and blah blah blah, and there's more weed than ever and more dealers than ever, because the word's out there, it's good fun in Nimbin, mate.
Well,
pay real cops and robbers. You can't get in too much trouble.
I've been chatting with the legal fraternity, having little chitty chats with them, and finding out the Lismore legal fraternity to find out what's going on there, and them to find out what's going on here.
And
they want to know what's going on in the world of the cannabis plant, and I was letting them know.
And what'd you say?
Well, I didn't say anything. I just got them really stoned.
Yeah, right. So they basically had to figure it out for themselves. I didn't have to say anything.
After that, it was pretty clear, and everybody understood.
Yeah, right.
It was quite good. But they're floundering, and they're flustered, and they do not know what to do with Lenny and with Rock.
It's a bit of confusion. I was saying to the goddess here, earlier on, that
they're the most unlikely pair, aren't they?
Aren't they?
I was having a moment yesterday. I've got a little movie for you. Can I run a movie?
Hey,
they are.
Yeah, you on run a
corner,
a movie.
You know the war memorial on that corner. There's Lenny.
Hang on, we need a little bit of theme music softly in the background for the movie. Hang on, so you ready? Okay, rolling.
It's a great shot. They're a great couple. There's Lenny on that corner. I think he's had a fresh haircut, so it's at least 1/4 centimetre long. He's got that big jacket with heaps of pockets on it, stuff full. And there he is. He looks pretty tired because he works bloody hard, mate. He's just had a child. He works his butt off. He's a beautiful man. And he's waiting for Rock. Rock shuffles across from the Hemp Embassy in his clogs.
Gunslingers.
His dress falling off the sarong. The shirt buttoned, I think, at the unequal buttons. And he sort of shuffles across with his big bag. That probably had half a pound in it or something. And they shuffle across, meet each other like true mates, and sort of shuffle up the... I tell you what, I thought, you've never seen two odder people working better together in your life.
There you go.
Well, I love their effort.
Yeah,
I love their effort.
Keep going, fellas, because they do not know their guts. How to deal with you.
That's the truth.
They don't know how to deal with you. They're flummoxed.
They are indeed.
And they're going to have to pass you on shortly to the High Court. And when they do, they're flummoxed too.
Yeah, well, Rock went before a tribunal this week up in Brisbane. Mm-mm. The tribunal was to... It was requested by his barrister.
Rock's barrister.
I don't know. Someone's barrister recommended it. I didn't think Rock had a barrister.
To see whether Rock was valid to get the pension or something.
No, it was to see whether he was actually able and sane enough to defend himself in court as he had been doing, or something like that. Mm. And he fronted up with his face covered in white clay and the usual dress and everything else that he has.
Habituates.
All that is Rock.
Mm.
And... basically flummoxed them entirely. You know, he had them with the Show Me a Living Word line. That really knocked the wind out of their sails. They said, "You're enjoying this, aren't you? This is just a game for you. Just like to take the piss out of the legal system." He says, "Yes, I like to take the piss out of the legal system, but I'm not enjoying it.
It's my
I'm
duty.
Being forced to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're forcing me to do this."
Yep.
You know. Anyway, at the end of the day, tribunal ruled that he was indeed fit to speak on his own behalf.
Excellent.
And so now it goes back to the courts, and I was saying to him yesterday, I'm such a pessimist when it comes to things like this, and he's such a wonderful optimist, and it's sort of a great clash of ideals in that respect. But I said, well, now that they've got the say-so, they can now legally hold you for contempt rather than worrying about is he a little bit not able to be held for contempt because he's not actually sort of legally able to give evidence because he's been ruled by a tribunal to not be so. But the tribunal ruled him yes, so. So maybe the next thing they're going to try is the old contempt of court.
No, they would have done that long ago.
I think they were worried about him skipping off that with a psychiatric report.
They would have done that long ago.
You can't be contemptful if you don't fully understand the system.
No, and I think it's going to be that he is not being contemptuous of court. He is being...
Well, he told them he was taking the piss.
He is telling them that they're...
But he said he wasn't enjoying it.
That they don't have jurisdiction over him as well.
And he said, "Show me a living word and we can talk again."
I said,
"So what do they call you?" And he said, "Oh, all sorts of stuff." I said, "They ever got it right yet?" He says, "No, even when they try Rock, they always call me Mr. Rock." It's not right either.
He should tell them the story of Rumpelstiltskin.
Mumpelplixkin. Yeah.
But anyway, it's got him pretty well buggered. They don't know how to deal with it.
It has.
They're on the ropes. And my opinion, my theory on this, and it's just a theory.
Yeah,
is that they think that there's some truth in it.
No, I don't think so. I just think
that they think there is some truth in it.
And they think that when it's taken to the High Court and you have the justice system examining itself like that, it's going to find itself at fault and... Because a plant cannot be illegal. A gift of God can't be illegal.
Of course it can't be.
It's just stupid. The whole thing's stupid. And it's taking it back to them at that. This is stupid.
Are there any other actual plants
this is your law
that
and
are illegal? Like opium's not illegal. It's just restricted.
Well, the opium poppy, the coca plant.
But it's only restricted.
Heaps of different herbs.
But they're growing legally in some places for particular reasons.
I'm sure they are. But I can point to you. Some that are illegal plants. I know where they are. I have seen them.
Oh, yeah, you want to take me there after the show?
I can take you there after the show and I can point to them. Okay. And these are the illegal... And you probably know them too because they're in your garden.
Oh, those ones?
Uh-huh.
No, they're legal.
Uh-huh, Bob.
They're legal.
Uh-huh.
They're okay.
Uh-huh.
Don't blush,
I've got
Bob.
A bit of paper for them.
Don't blush.
I've got a bit of paper for them somewhere. Hey, do you want to hear something?
Yes, they are illegal, and how can a gift of God be illegal?
So, Ethan, hey, I rang Ethan. Now, Ethan Nadelman arrived in Australia last Monday. Have you talked the story?
I've got no...
He arrived to fill everyone in. He's George Soros.
Yes, I've got Ethan on the computer here.
I rang him up this morning, left a message on his phone.
Okay, and what's he going to do?
Ring us between 12 and 2 if he can.
Okay, if
the
he can.
The worry is he won't get the message in time.
Well, anyway, he did a bit of a chat on Triple J's hack.
Beautiful.
And
I heard it was pretty good.
Well, I don't know. I haven't listened to it yet. But
can we sample the wares while we listen to Ethan?
I think we should. I'm not sure how long it goes for.
I'm really interested in the guy anyway, and I think it's really relevant at the moment.
Yeah, okay. This is the article was called "Buying Weed from the Corner Store." It's prefaced by "You should be able to buy weed from your local corner store with proof of ID card," according to Dr. Ethan Nadelman. He's the executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which is a group from the United States that wants to end the war on drugs. Mm. And it was this group behind the failed bid to legalize weed in California in the US midterm elections. Ethan says that despite news of the big drug busts, the tough on drugs approach doesn't work and has serious consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Triple J and the Hack website, Ethan Nadelman.
You should be able to buy weed from your local corner store with a proof of ID card, according to Dr. Ethan Nadelman.
He's
the executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which is a group from the United States that wants to end the war on drugs. And it was a group behind the failed bid to legalise weed in California in the US midterm elections this year. But what do you think? Would you be more likely to smoke weed if you couldn't get busted for doing it? Is the number to call. Ethan Nadelman says, despite news of big drug busts, the tough-on-drugs approach doesn't work and it has serious consequences.
You know, almost 2 million people getting arrested each year on drug charges, and half of those are for marijuana. We're spending tens and tens of billions of dollars a year trying to enforce unenforceable prohibitions. And whereas the U.S. is one of the worst in the world, most other countries, including Australia, it's not as if you're all doing that well either on this.
Well, this week, though, we've seen the biggest drug bust ever in Victoria. 43 people were arrested for growing and distributing pot. Police alleged that money from that was being used to import heroin. Isn't that an example of supply being successfully interrupted?
Some government body should say, let's see, how much do taxpayers just spend for this whole operation? And how much are we going to spend to lock up these dozens of people for many years? And what's going to be the impact in terms of the markets? Is there actually going to be a marijuana shortage? And if so, for how long? And is that going to result in people switching to harder drugs, which is sometimes what happens when you have a marijuana shortage? Then I want to ask, who likes this bust? And maybe where did the police get the information in the first place? My guess is that other criminal organizations who are now smacking their lips and seeing a new opportunity to move in. This may have been one of the biggest busts, but it's probably the 10,000th bust in the last 50 or 60 years. There's zillions more like them all around the world. And ultimately, it seems to make no difference to dealing with the baseline problems of drug abuse in a civil society.
All right, what should happen then?
Well, with respect to pot, I would say it's time to treat it more like alcohol. Public opinion is shifting rapidly in the United States. I mean, people look at California, where we just had a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana. People have been offering me condolences because it didn't win. And I'm saying, are you crazy? I never thought it would get 46.3% of the vote. It got more votes than Meg Whitman, the Republican candidate for governor, who spent $160 million. And among young people, something like 65% of all young people under the age of 25 and over 60% of people under the age of 30 are saying it's time to do this. So I can't say it's just a matter of time, but the demographics, the economics, and principle are all in favor of moving marijuana into an alcohol control model. And I can guarantee that there are going to be more marijuana legalization initiatives on the ballot in California and other states, especially out west, in 2012 and probably in 2016 as well.
But something more sensible isn't necessarily an alcohol control model, is it? And in Australia, we have huge problems with alcohol, especially with young people. Well, how could that be the solution?
Well, keep in mind, both marijuana and alcohol are widely available, right? In my country, young people say it's easier to buy marijuana than it is to buy alcohol. So both these drugs are widely available, whether they're legal or illegal. If we were to all of a sudden criminalize alcohol and legalize marijuana, they still would be widely available. What really accounts for the problems with alcohol is that for most people who use it, alcohol is the more dangerous drug, right? Marijuana is a drug. It can be addictive. You can have problems. You don't want to have young people waking and baking and going to school and all that sort of thing. But there's never been a marijuana overdose. That's not true of alcohol. If you combine marijuana with other drugs, you may get dizzy or tired or sick, but you're not going to die. You combine alcohol with heroin or opiates or benzos, that's a dangerous situation. For people who get addicted to marijuana, it's not pleasant, but you can get out of that, and it's not going to be deadly. Marijuana is probably the least dangerous psychoactive drug commonly used in human history. That's not a clean bill of health, but the vast majority of people who use marijuana, including the last three presidents of the United States, including your current prime minister, including your two former heads of the opposition, the vast majority of people who use marijuana do not become addicted to marijuana, do not develop mental illness, do not go on to use harder drugs. I mean, by and large, for the small percentage of people who have marijuana who have a problem with it, the last thing you want is the police being involved. You want a cop dealing with that, or you want a medical professional?
Would more people smoke if pot were legal and if you didn't have to go through a dealer to get it?
My guess is that if you made marijuana legal, more or less like alcohol, that you would not see much of an increase among young people, because young people already can get marijuana incredibly easily, right? The people who would be more likely to use more marijuana are going to be people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. For some people, it means they would drink less or use less pharmaceutical drug. I don't think legalizing marijuana is the perfect policy. What I do think, and what I'm fairly confident of is that legally regulating it and taxing it and controlling it and having proper education with it is going to be a much more effective policy than the current failed prohibitionist policy, both in terms of reducing marijuana problems and in terms of reducing all of the harms of marijuana prohibition.
How is it more effective if more people end up smoking?
If the number of people who smoke marijuana were to go up 5 or 10 or 15%, but the number of people getting arrested were to drop from 50 or 60,000 to a few thousand, if you no longer had organized crime doing what happened in Victoria yesterday, if you no longer had vast black markets empowering Mexican traffickers and Asian traffickers and all that, what I'd say is I think it's worth taking the risk of an increased level of marijuana use in society in return for the benefits of reducing all of the harms of prohibition.
Okay. Apparently, there's been where are we? It's a paper examining who did the paper. Who did the paper?
What paper?
Someone. It says here, conclusive evidence of decriminalisation from Portugal.
Oh yeah, that's a new story.
Okay.
That just came in today.
From a Caitlin Elizabeth Hughes and Alex Stevens, right? The issue of decriminalising illicit drugs is hotly debated, but is rarely subject to evidence-based analysis. These people put out a paper examining the case of Portugal, a nation that decriminalised the use and possession of all illicit drugs on the 1st of July 2001. It's been going quite a while, hasn't it? It's been 9 years this year. Okay, drawing upon independent evaluations and interviews conducted with 13 key stakeholders in 2007 and 2009, it critically analyses the criminal justice and health impacts against trends from neighbouring Spain and Italy, two countries, I guess, with similar populations and similar drug problems.
Propensities.
Propensities, yeah. It concludes that contrary to predictions, the Portuguese decriminalisation experiment did not lead to major increases in drug use.
No, because it's not really frowned on that heavily in Spain. Pot smoking in Spain is a very common thing amongst young folks.
Indeed, evidence indicates that reductions in problematic use, drug-related harm and criminal justice overcrowding. Reductions in all those things, in reductions in problematic use, drug-related harm and criminal justice overcrowding.
Yes.
So, there you go. I'm not going to read the full paper, but that's the basic conclusion to be drawn from this analysis.
So the honeypot effect turned out not to be correct.
It turns to be a furphy, just like the Gateway story turned out to be.
Lies so what and propaganda.
So what they're saying is that if we make pot legal, we're not going to have a flood of Kiwis coming over here to...
They're already here. Yeah, they're already here.
That's right. Flood. They had a big thing last week in Wellington. I think it was in Wellington.
Haven't they got a new guy, a school teacher?
And the cop said, I heard the cop that was speaking, watching the rally of whatever it was, 200 people smoking joints in front of Parliament House. And he said, I can't see that they're doing anything wrong at the moment. I don't think we need to intervene.
No, we're just here to watch.
So a couple of things there.
Observe.
I don't think they're doing anything wrong.
No, I don't think they're doing anything wrong.
I think normal New Zealand's just got a new prez who's a school teacher. That's very upset by kids getting criminal records and in trouble over the issue.
As you would be.
Is that a
As
true story
you would
or
be.
I invent that? I think that's true on your news, Bob.
What's that?
And we'll have to take the big joint to Sydney for the New South Wales elections next year. They're in March. We can't run. But we have to try and put it on the agenda. What do you think? Mm. Have a smoke in
I think
at
it needs
New
to
South
go.
Wales?
I'll tell you what's really looking good is Paul Dillon, who for so long has been almost our arch foe in the press. He's been out there bringing out, like giving credence to some of the bodgy statistics that they so love to fling around our ears about marijuana psychosis, increase of strength and potencies, and all those sort of red herrings that they strew along
marijuana
the way.
Marijuana madness.
Marijuana, the whole thing.
Lies and propaganda.
Paul seems to be slipping from his hard-held idealism, particularly regarding cannabis. Not quite sure why maybe the evidence just keeps mounting up that he's been a bit pig-headed about it, and he as a scientist simply can't avoid the evidence-based stuff anymore. He just seems to have made a few pronouncements recently that have been a lot more calm and conciliatory.
Like
he can definitely see like a position for medical cannabis and things like that, questioning the super potency myth. Yeah, a few things like that, which are coming from Paul is big, you know, because if their experts start to slide, you know, if their experts start to lose their
it'd be like global warming, you reckon?
Yeah.
Like the battle's over with that now.
If the experts start to melt, basically all the serious shit,
all the deniers, they just sound like wankers, and they even sound like wankers to themselves now.
Well, they do, don't they? Mm. Yeah, mm. I know. It's but it just goes on. It just goes on, you know?
Yeah. No, I've got to say, stupidity is an endless, bottomless well. It doesn't end with just one stupid action.
Well, I've got a little story here. It says that some archaeologists have just been going through a tomb in China. 2,700 years old, the tomb.
Weed.
They found a stash.
Seeds. Hash.
The cache of cannabis is 2,700 years old. There's 789 grams of dried cannabis buried alongside a light-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian man, likely a shaman of the Gushi culture near Turpan in northwestern China. It was cultivated, obviously, they say, for psychoactive purposes rather than as fiber for clothing or as food. So it's obviously a kilo of buds, good buds.
Mm.
The extremely dry conditions and alkaline soil acted as preservatives, allowing a team of scientists to carefully analyse the stash, which still looked green, though it had lost its distinctive odour.
Isn't that amazing? Still looks green.
Gee, I tell you what, I would not mind a little scoop of it.
A little Scooby-Doo
They would have smoked it for sure. Some.
To our knowledge, these investigations provide the oldest documentation of cannabis, blah, 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 blah. The oldest documentation of cannabis as a pharmacologically active agent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is the oldest
stoner.
Oldest stoner they've ever come across. The oldest stoner.
Way, way back, because we've got locks in our brains that have linked us to cannabis for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
It goes back a long way.
It says remnants of cannabis have been found in ancient Egypt and other sites in other ancient parts of the world. And
the frozen man in Switzerland was full of weed.
And the substance has been referred to by authors such as Greek historians, Herodotus. But the tomb stash is the oldest so far that could be thoroughly tested for its properties. Now, if they could test it for its properties, they could test it for its THC content.
And a whole 900 grams, nearly a kilo.
Nearly 800 grams, 789.
Wow, he must have been a real a roller.
Okay, here we go. The 18 researchers, most of them based in China, subjected the cannabis to a battery of tests, including carbon dating and genetic analysis.
Bong,
scientists
joints,
also tried
vaporizer,
scientists also tried
long pipes, thin pipes, metal pipes,
tried
wooden pipes, bamboo pipes.
Tried what?
Scientists also tried to germinate 100 of the seeds found in the cache, but without success.
Without success, yeah.
But they should send some to Amsterdam and some to Canada, places where people know how to really germinate a seed.
Were the seeds mixed in the stash? Do you think it had a little hermy branch?
No, I don't think it was hermy. I just think
it was a
plant that had a few seeds in it, mate.
It worked out. Oh, that's pretty perfect, isn't it?
It's just what they grew.
Well, it's what you need.
Maybe in those days they weren't even that.
A couple of pounds.
What are you going to need?
It's a couple of pounds, isn't it?
What are you going to need when you get to the other side?
Yeah, a bit of weed.
A dozen seeds.
You're going to need something.
And enough pound to get you through until
your next crop's up. Yeah. It says.
So it's 2 pounds and 100 seeds.
Here we go. Can I read you the highlight bold quote? Sentence. It says the marijuana, listen to this, Paul Dillon, the marijuana was found to have a high content of THC.
Wow.
There you go.
How much?
But the sample was too old to determine the precise percentage.
Oh, gutless.
That's
give us a
says.
Rough
That's
idea.
What it says. Oh, a rough idea. We don't know, but it says it had a high content of THC.
Yeah, they'd be able to figure that out too by the cell breakdown.
Yeah. But
so
I couldn't give it exact.
Well.
Yeah, would have smoked
still.
Well. Still.
They would be chuffing it.
It'd taste a bit dry,
I think. It'd be like that really old wine.
Well, don't you think it's a little suspicious 900 grams? What happened to the other 100?
Yeah.
He don't tell me he died and said, oh, just give me 900 grams. I won't bother with the full kilo.
No. They didn't have kilos in those days. They had cue bars.
Isn't it fantastic?
A cue bar is about 884 grams.
It's enough to get you through until the crop comes.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's how they measured a cue bar.
It's really interesting that you should mention previously, because it says here, the large cache was contained in a leather basket and in a wooden bowl, the mole bowl. And was likely to be used by the shaman in the afterlife.
Of course.
It says this material is unequivocally cannabis, and no material has previously been found that had this degree of analysis possible. It was common practice in the burials, you know, to provide materials needed in the afterlife. No hemp or seeds were provided for fabric or food. Rather, it was provided as medicine or for visionary purposes.
Nope.
Just getting through. The tomb also contained bridles, archery equipment, and a harp.
What did it have? Bridles?
Bridles, archery equipment, and a harp, confirming the man's rather high social standing as an artist.
Mm. And he was
the horse riding, harp playing.
Blonde haired, blue eyed.
27
in northern China.
In northern China.
Riding on a horse with no name.
Yeah, with a harp under
playing
his arm.
A harp,
he's an angel.
Shooting bows and arrows.
He's an angel.
Carrying 2 pounds.
Yeah.
2 pounds of. Bunt,
the singing
high THC weed,
the singing dealer.
God, what a man!
It's the singing dealer.
I love it. Imagine when he comes to town, all the kids would run out. Drama bud.
Yeah,
all the children going to run.
Chuck a few seeds around, spreading it as he goes.
So did I send you that email?
That's who he was.
Who'd you get that? Who'd you get that email from?
From you, I think. From you via Joe.
Let's send that to Bob.
Well,
Dooley. Can you do that from there?
Oh, no, not just now.
I went to a Scythian's grave.
Scythian.
Scythian's grave in Bulgaria. And there, this guy was the guy who died there, who was buried in the tomb, was a chieftain of some kind. He had 20 or 30 horses killed and laying around his body, and 20 or 30 of his troops, his commandos, were slaughtered and laid around him.
As well.
To take to the afterlife with him.
To protect him on the way through.
But what he carried on a little leather pouch around his neck were seeds, marijuana seeds, hemp seeds.
The sacred cannabis seed.
That's what he was... That's the one thing...
That's how important it was.
When he got through to the other side.
Is that right?
He wanted his 20 commandos.
Yeah.
With their 20 horses.
Yeah.
He wanted a speck or two of gold, which had all been stolen.
Yeah.
But most of all, he wanted to carry with him on his person the seed of the hemp plant.
The weed, yeah.
Mm.
Where was that? China?
Romania. Bulgaria.
Bulgaria. Mm. What was his name?
And it shows... And the death...
I think they used to call him... For sure.
For sure, yeah, sure.
And the depth of the sort of total ignorance we live in now is reflected in this war on the... They are the sacred plants. The plants that absolutely not only took your pain away, gave you amazing visions and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, riding over the endless steps on your tiny little hairy pony. What do you want to do? You need to be stoned.
You've got to be stoned.
Your toes are dragging on the ground because you're actually a tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, naughty man. And all you can find is this stupid little
front pony. The only one you could catch.
Yeah.
You're big dogs.
So you're sort of walking along with it, you know, like your feet are sort of tagging on the ground as your pony takes you along. It's you and him together. There's six legs touching. Yeah. You know, it's all stable. And, the two of you sort of waddle your way across the plains.
Well, you can always, it's like a moped.
You can always
help it out, put your feet on the ground if it's feeling and push, heavy for the little fella.
Yeah. And push it along when it can't get up. They're a good, handy system.
Yeah. But you
do
need pot to make it run smoothly and correctly. As this guy obviously knew. No, I think it's been with us for a long time. Well, I don't think. I know it's been with us for a long time, and it's probably the closest herbal friend that you mortals have.
I think so.
That's
absolutely.
I'm talking about me.
And they did such a good job with their propaganda, not only of bagging it, but of hiding its history. Like, it's amazing. It's incomprehensible that every American school and museum had to get rid of everything related to the hemp plant. One of their initial industries. What a founding industry. Every school had to delete all reference to it, and every museum had to take it out and burn it. Unbelievable.
And yet it's still the material they make their money out of.
Incredible. They still use it?
Mm-hmm.
They make plastic money now, probably.
No.
See, someone's made a lot of fake hemp money. Did you see that yesterday in the news? And Sydney, a couple of guys have made millions of fake
50s.
And they swapped them for $1 million Coke deal, which got busted when it came in anyway, I think.
Okay, what happened to them?
And they've been the cocaine.
They've been buying
a lot of weed with these 50s. I'll bet you too. Watch out. They look very good. If you scratch the stars on the American 50s. They come off. No, Aussie 50s.
Australian 50s, you can scratch the stars.
They found a suitcase full in San Francisco, and the $1 million worth of coke over here. They got ripped off badly.
Oh, man, you just know it's going to be tears before bedtime for a whole lot of people in that damn story, you know? Really.
So you can tell they're lighter, they don't weigh as much, or they weigh more.
And they're only printed on one side.
You can scratch... No, they're not. They're very good. And you can... The stars scratch off on the window.
They look...
Okay. Southern Cross stars.
On film, they look great. On the TV.
Yeah, right.
They look
tops.
Terrific.
Right. Is that right?
Bundles and bundles.
And let's face it, when you're doing a big...
machines working 24/7.
When you're doing a big coke deal, you're not looking at every note so closely, are you?
No, you're not.
Just too many of the little fuckers to look at.
Yeah, you put a few real ones on the outside, some bundles, you know.
The weight's the thing that gets you. If you're checking money, what most people do these days, so I'm told...
Weigh 100 notes.
They weigh 5 grand's worth. 5 grand comes to, I think it's 92 grand's.
In 50s or in hundreds?
If it's a fake one, it'll come to more.
Usually.
It'll come more or less. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
More or less. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't match. You just get you get $5,000 worth of 50s and drop them on your scale. And if your other stack doesn't match it to the pumpteenth.
And later on you realise inside the rolls just in sort of bits of newspaper.
Well, it could be newspaper, but that'll be a big weight difference.
Could be fivers or $10 notes. They weigh different?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yeah. A good dealer will have a stack of all different sorts of ways of making up.
They'll know how much 5,000 of these little mothers should weigh. And they'll
put
it on the scale, and if it doesn't come
up... But they'll usually all be in the same denomination unless you're right down the bottom of the food chain. You know, they all get sorted and changed, and the really low stuff ends up getting spent for...
Is this a revolution outside?
What's happening?
Bring on the revolution.
I'm waiting for it. It's coming soon.
What is it? A revolution? Like a hill?
Sounds like school children.
Sounds like North Koreans.
I can hear voices raised, lots of them, crowds. Holy hell.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to break into North Korea after they have the nuclear little fandango, and the place will be empty. It'll all be starved to death.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Who was this In at Six again?
In at Six, it's a guy in Manly who sends us stuff, and I just send it to you. No, he sends it to you direct now.
He does now. You've got so much stuff. You know that they had the biggest ever drug bust in Victoria recently?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that on the news this week. They'd been watching it for 18 months. All Vietnamese. For 50 houses, arrested 40 men, 70 houses.
600 police made early morning raids yesterday as part of...
600 cops.
600 cops. Every cop in the state, by the look of things, was out busting. Operation Entity, hailed as the biggest drug raid in the state's history.
And do you know why? Do you know why they chose to put all this energy in?
43 people I got.
Yes, but not only that. 60 houses now belong to the Victorian Police.
60 houses, 10 police. 10 police to a house.
How do we know they weren't just renting them?
10 police to a house.
They owned them, did they?
They were paying the mortgage off on them, but now they're still paying the mortgage off on them, but they belong to the police.
So a lot of those coppers needed a house.
They arrested 43 people. That's 12 police per person, 10 police per house. So there's... If they had 60 houses and only 43 people, some houses were empty, some houses had one.
Share the bedrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now the cops aren't, and this is the thing, this is where the cops are going to start making their profits from.
No, that's where they've been making it for a while like this.
They have, but now it's become official.
Oh, yeah.
Corrupt
and
in low
places.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Over 8,040 cannabis plants valued at $30 million were confiscated. Of those arrested, they charged 30 overnight. 9 other people will be charged.
A lot of people were just sort of my bedsitters.
2 were cautioned, another pair released pending further inquiries.
You know how they got this? How this happened? They busted a guy leaving Australia with $500,000 in cash a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
And traced it all back through him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, that's the story on the 7 p.m. project. We didn't talk about that. 7 p.m. project on Channel 10 on Monday night. They show all the news of these Victorian busts, and Ethan's on the panel, Needleman.
Yeah.
Needle Athelman.
Yeah.
And they go, Needle, what do you think of that? And Needle goes, you know, the police have completely distorted these figures. Imagine how much it's cost them. 600 police, 18 months' work, distorted the value of the punt, and guess what? It'll make no difference on the street at all in supply. The other dealers and growers are rubbing their hands in glee. Absolute waste of time and distortion of everything. Blah, blah, blah. We've seen this in America for years. Then, is it Steve Price, I think, from the panel with Dave Hughes and all these people, attacks Needleman. How dare you come to our country, you know? Tell Edelman. Us the biggest police bust in money is pathetic and they waste your around. Of course, this is a magnificent slap in the face to the drug dealers and will be a huge hole in their supply, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, oh, well, Ethan will go into his hole. Now, Ethan came out with a right cross that floored the panel, mate. He came out so instantly aggressive. How dare you vote for a government that has rules and regulations to it. He just ripped them to bits, you know. And Steve Price never said another word.
Yeah, good.
And at the end of the show, they say, well, Ethan, thanks for coming in and handling that little bit of fire. Ethan goes, that was fire?
Yeah, that was fire. Yeah.
And that, I thought, he's going to be good. So next Wednesday, he's in Brisbane. We're going to go and see
Needle Athelman in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Needle is
our needle.
Mm. We're here. We're going to jab them with him.
We've been trying to get him to Mardi Gras for years, and anyway, Alex Wodak and his mates managed to finance.
It's just good to know that.
Is Needle being financed by Alex?
No, Alex will be part of. You know, it's a. I don't know.
The Needle is being financed by George Soros.
Okay, so that's George Soros's Needle.
Mm.
Okay, got it.
He's slipping the Needle.
So I'm going to ask Needle up there on Wednesday. What about Mardi Gras? Do you not want to come? Did George think don't get involved with the hippie element?
You don't want to have hippies hanging off your coattails.
I'll be able to report back next Friday.
Mate, you just still haven't got it, have you?
No, probably not.
It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you come from. Far left, far right, middle, centre. Doesn't matter. You all hate hippies. Each and every one of you, whether you're left wing, right wing, or just a buddy, they all do.
Their fantasies, mate.
They think we're all bludgers.
You walk off
a they think
real
you're hard. A bludger. Yeah. They think I'm a bludger.
And we are.
Yes. Yes.
We fully are into the war on work. And
that's just a euphemism for bludging off the other people.
Exactly. Well, we're winning. We're right. winning our dirty
You reckon
war.
We're bludging better than they're getting us?
We're winning our dirty little we war, are. And yeah. that's why they're so jealous, because we're winning. And they can't win any, they can't win a trick.
No, they're having problems. I know that.
They're really worried that they could lose all that wealth they have spent their life working
studying
to get.
And that's right. That's
they've
right.
spent their life accruing this little pile of stuff and house
no,
and whatever.
They'll still do all right. They'll still do all right because they still have divorces to look after.
No, they only got half then, but they could lose the lot if something terrible happened.
Maybe the stop divorces. Maybe stop marriages
Koreans.
Too. That will really shatter through them. No more marriage. Lawyers will just shoot themselves on the spot. They will.
Ooh. No, we're sending the lawyers out to save the environment. That's where they should be. God help us, man.
I remember a week or so ago.
That's how they killed that German philosopher.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we were feeling pretty sad about the demise. Well, not so much sad, but sort of resigned to the demise of Proposition 19 in California. But quietly,
the Needle wasn't downcast.
Quietly, over in Arizona, they voted yes to let medical cannabis in the door. It became the 15th state in the union to allow patients to front up and have to have medical cannabis dispensaries like there are in the other 14 states. So it's another step. It's another step, you know.
Rolling across America. I find it fascinating that they started this
corrupt and rotten old empire.
Working their way out of it.
Yeah, well,
corrupt and rotten old empire just devolving into itself, crumbling, rotting.
Yeah.
falling to pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's a little the push from China and North Korea, maybe.
No, that's all coming really nasty.
On, I haven't got it.
Local news on what?
Northern Star.
About what?
Drugs.
Drug news.
Police have remained active, I'd have to say. They were here this morning, I hear, picking up someone.
They had their amazing attempt yesterday at community liaising. They grabbed a couple of young lads in the lane and told them that if they didn't go down to the station and get the barbecue, they'd hit them with a move-on order.
Did they carry the barbecue?
Yes.
They did. They carried the barbecue. Yeah. That's the power of a move. Anyway, there was another bust up Stony Chute. I haven't got it in front of you. There was quite a big bust. Police acting on information. Is this Ethan? We got Ethan?
Okay, hang on for a second, Michael. We just got Ethan.
Ethan on the line here right now, so I'm just going to sort that out like that. Okay, Ethan, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
You maybe can hear him through there, Michael. Can you hear him? If not, then you can't hear him at all, and you're just going to have to go.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear a thing.
I can hear you as clear as a bell, and
Ethan,
so can our listeners.
You're an angel. Can he hear us?
He can hear you, yes.
Ethan,
okay.
Bless you for ringing up, old mate.
Oh,
we've been
sure
following your trip in Australia and encouraging it for ages, going up to see you in Brisbane next week.
Uh-huh.
And we want to know, we'd love you to come to Mardi Gras, our annual cannabis law reform gathering, first weekend in May every year. But wondered if maybe George Soros and the experts in law reform think it shouldn't be the hippies standing up for law reform. We need suits like you.
Well, I'll tell you
what. What do you
this.
Think? Would you come to Mardi Gras?
Well,
any chance next year?
If I can find the time to get away from the United States and come to Mardi Gras, I would be delighted to do that. I mean, one of the problems is that trying to change drug policy in the United States with 300 million people is my number one job, and that coming to Australia and other countries is something that I also try to do. So I'd love to do it. But I will tell you this, that when George Soros decided to put $1 million into Proposition 19, that California ballot initiative, that was a real statement on his part that he thought the time has really come to push this issue forward. You know, and I'll tell you, I am among those. I was stunned at how well that marijuana initiative did in California a few weeks ago. I mean, people have been giving me their condolences and saying they're sorry it lost. And I keep looking at them and saying, you got to be kidding me. That loss on Election Day was a blip. That in many ways, having Proposition 19 on the ballot really just elevated and transformed and legitimized the dialogue around legalizing marijuana in the United States, not just in California, but the United States and even outside the United States. I mean, you had labor unions, you had civil rights organizations, you had politicians who had only ever said they were in favor privately, now saying so publicly. So it was transformative. And one of my big hopes is that, you know, what's happening in the United States now, which has traditionally been, you know, the leader of the drug war globally, that what's happening in the United States in a positive way will spill over in Australia and around the rest of the world. That's my great hope.
Yep, that's right. But hey, we've got another war that we're fighting here too, Nathan. I don't know if anybody. This is Goddess, by the way. Goddess of the Holy Smoke.
Uh-huh.
We're fighting another war here, and it's the war on work. And we just wondered if after you finish off with the war on drugs, will you join us with this other war that we're fighting?
I don't know. You know, I've been looking for candidates for other wars to fight. But I'll tell you this. I think trying to end the war on drugs is a multi-generational struggle. So I'm already trying to train and mentor, the next generations of leaders to end the prohibition of cannabis and to promote more sensible drug policies. And in my spare time, every once in a while, I figure out, well, what might I do next if we actually win this thing a lot sooner than I expect?
Okay. Oh, we love you, mate. We
so,
really
Nathan, what's next? Ethan, sorry.
Yeah.
What's next in Australia for you now?
And how are you getting received in Australia, Ethan? Have you talked to the cops,
I'll
for
tell
example?
You. I mean, I've been in Sydney and Melbourne. I'm about to give a talk at the City Hall or the Town Hall in Melbourne in about 3 minutes. I'll be going back to Canberra, and I'll be up in Brisbane, as you said, and some more stuff in Sydney. I've been talking to some of the elite foreign policy organizations. I've been meeting with politicians. I had dinner with Malcolm Turnbull and with Rob Oakeshott and with Mal, I can't remember his last name, the legislator from Perth. I mean, there's definitely people who would like to see things moving forward and who are thinking. And I think the general sense is that Australia is a bit stuck right now. You know, your politics are a bit, bogged down, and people are worried about elections. But at least you have thinking people in various political parties who want this thing to move forward a bit. And what nobody knows is what's going to kick it forward. So I think one of the reasons the Australian Drug Law Reform Foundation brought me here was to see if I could stir some stuff up and maybe people could then start to run with it. I hope I can have that effect, but it's really going to be up to you guys. You guys up in Nimbin and, you know, the other drug reform leaders around the country to really start pushing this thing forward again.
Hey, look, that's wonderful. Your interview on Triple J yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that was terrific. That was very widespread. Now, you are stirring things up a bit. What do you think about coming to Mardi Gras next year, May the 1st next year?
If I could find a way to do it, I would love to do it. It's just really hard for me to get that time away from the United States, and you guys are a long way away. So, you know, this is my third time in Australia. I came in 92, I came in 01, I'm here now, and hopefully it won't be another 9 years before I come again.
Mate, next time you come, I tell you, we're going to be smoking legal. I love it. We really appreciate you ringing us up, Ethan.
And all the good work too, mate.
And
we really
all your good
what
work.
Doing.
We love it. Follow you all the time.
I really appreciate it.
And good on you talking to NIM FM. That's terrific.
Okay, by the way, we have a nickname for you here. We call you the Needle.
Oh, yeah.
Needleman, Ethan.
you know, Nadelman comes from the German for Nadelman, and that means the needle. So, you know, God bless all you guys. You are doing the Lord's work, and, just keep pushing forward. Okay? Best of luck to you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for calling up.
See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, there you go. Ethan Nadel and the Needle.
Cool for ringing out.
Yeah, what a lovely man.
What a
man.
Nice little interview. Well done. And we managed to pull that off without earphones.
You did well to juggle.
Well done.
That worked out well.
Nice talking to a true hero of the revolution.
It is indeed. Yeah, look, we've only got a couple of minutes left on the clock here, fellas.
So now we know his passion. He's a Jesus freak as well.
That's what
he's
drives him on. It's God's weed, and God wants it out there.
God's mistake, this grunt. You should have attacked him for it.
God's
I like
mistake.
That he's seen Rob Oakeshott. That was good to hear.
Yeah.
I think Rob's important.
And Malcolm, and Malcolm Turnbull, too.
Malcolm Turnbull's an old chuffer from way back.
Yeah, I know. Just get him. Up to date with the
so
state of the
he
fight.
Had is he had a National Press Club thing, and then he had a thing at Parliament House, I think, where anyone could come. The guys have turned up are the old smokers, Rob Oakeshott and Malcolm.
Hmm. Okay.
If they brought him any weed.
I wonder. You can never tell.
So he's officially the Needle now.
He's officially the Needle, yeah.
He did like it. The Warren worked in the throw him a bit.
He just carried on. He says, we'll never be finished with this war on drugs for quite a while.
Multi-generational.
Your war on work. Going to have to wait. Yeah, good on you, Ethan. The Needle.
Needleman. We love you.
Okay.
Well, that's about it for us.
That is it for us, yeah. We are basically out of here.
And really, enough of you humans. I'm going back to my world of being a plant.
Being a plant.
I'm going to vegetate for a week and I'll see you in about a week.
I hope there's not too many chemicals poured on you indoors, old man.
I hope you're not an indoor plant. You're not, are you? You're not. Tell us you're not
I am a natural commando plant.
Yeah, I was hoping so. Go on. Suddenly we're really getting a bit worried here.
All right,
listener, it's been a real pleasure having you. Listen, let me turn those microphones off while they put their clothes back on and bump and fiddle fart, and they do fart around, but that's just the way it goes. It has been a pleasure being here with you, and I want to go out with another Andrea Soler track because I can, and we'll be back in Indum and Aboriginal broadcasters following on immediately after that. See you then. Bye.
Streets, everyone pretending. like nothing ever happened to your people and your land, your people and your culture. Like we're all in denial. Look at the way we treat each other, yeah. When we are sister and brother, look at the way we treat this earth. When she is our mother, our mother. Ooh.